From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. The Board of Fish meets next month to a packed agenda, which includes everything from Chinook management in Southeast to Bering Sea cod. Salmon hatcheries are on the agenda as well, and hatchery managers and stakeholders are preparing to defend themselves against earlier attacks. A crowd of Sitkins turned out to testify their support for the Yes for Salmon initiative. And finally, crab stocks in the Bering Sea. King crab and tanner are down, while snow crab appears on an upswing. All that and more coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The Alaska Board of Fish has a packed early lineup when it meets for 5 days next month in Anchorage. Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch has details.
This year's meeting cycle focuses on fisheries at Chignik, Bristol Bay, the Alaska Peninsula, and the Bering Sea. But others also are on the list, notably hatcheries. Some stakeholders believe increased numbers of hatchery fish pose a risk to wild salmon stocks, and a major state study is underway. On October 16th, the Fish Board has scheduled an open meeting on the subject. Glenn Haight is Board Executive Director.
They'll talk about the regulatory structure and the permitting process. They'll even provide an overview of the hatchery and wild salmon interaction study that they're doing, and then the board will open up a discussion with the public.
On the 17th, the Fish Board will meet jointly with the North Pacific Council to discuss mutual issues. One is management of Chinook salmon in Southeast Alaska.
And some of the things that Alaska's fisheries managers and all the users in Southeast have been going through to try to protect some of those stocks.
On October 18th and 19th, the Fish Board will address regional cod fisheries. Haight says there are several proposals asking to increase state water cod catches for the Aleutian Islands in Bering Sea.
We were planning on just having those dealt with at the regular meetings, but it was pointed out to us that people who fish those fisheries won't be able to attend the meetings because they'll be fishing. So we've moved all the PCOD subjects to October.
The Board of Fisheries sets policy for managing Alaska's subsistence, commercial, sport, and personal use fisheries in waters out to 3 miles.
That was Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch. As Lainey reported, the state salmon hatcheries is one of the topics being considered during the October Board of Fish meeting. The hatcheries and the various nonprofit associations that operate them have been supplying hatchery-reared salmon for decades. These hatchlings have been used to enhance local stock and to help rehabilitate faltering salmon runs. But now the state's hatcheries are coming under attack. Tina Fairbanks is the executive director of the Kodiak Regional Aquaculture Association, which operates 2 hatcheries in the Kodiak Archipelago. She recently sought the help of the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly in countering the attacks. While she didn't mention names, Fairbanks says there is an ongoing campaign of individuals out to undermine Alaska's hatchery enhancement program for salmon.
Beginning in February of this year, a small but vocal contingent began to speak out against hatcheries at Board of Fish meetings, primarily against pink and chum salmon enhancement.
She said KRAA and the other hatcheries were caught without a way to defend themselves when the attacks were made.
That led to a certain amount of increased press and drew negative attention to hatchery programs in forums where we didn't really have an opportunity to answer, to provide any kind of counter-narrative. Over the last several months, myself and the other hatchery operators have worked together to start to provide a fact-based counter-narrative to some of that negative attention that's been drawn to hatcheries.
She said the goal is to let people know that the state's hatchery program is based on sound science and was begun in response to periods of low abundance, or those years when fish runs are low. She says the hatcheries often provide benefits when there would otherwise be little or none.
They were developed with and by ADF&G, and now they serve the fisheries and communities of a large part of coastal Alaska and provide a significant economic benefit.
Fairbanks says hatcheries are also helping to provide coastal Alaska with a buffer when natural spawning runs prove weak, such as this year when the pink runs tanked. She testified to the big boost in both money and lifestyles that Kodiak's two hatcheries provide.
This year alone, KRAA has put over $6.5 million in estimated ex-vessel value into the commercial fisheries of Kodiak. And at the same time, we have programs that benefit sport fishing, subsistence, and personal use fisheries here in Kodiak and amongst the borough's villages.
On the other hand, opponents say the increased number of fish released by hatcheries and the fish themselves are a risk to the natural stocks.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960, or online at alaskaboat.com.
More than 50 Sitkins turned out last week to show support for Ballot Measure 1, known as the Yes for Salmon Initiative. And for the first time in the five hearings statewide on that controversial issue, not a single person came forward in opposition. KCAW's Aaron Schlomsky-Pritz reports.
Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott told the audience that the choice to hold a hearing in Sitka was an intentional one.
We had the obligation to choose where these hearings would be held, and I'll just say for the record myself that these hearings on this subject would never be complete unless there was a hearing in Sitka.
Stand for Salmon organizer Melanie Brown delivered the opening statement in favor of the initiative on behalf of the Yes for Salmon campaign. Four previous hearings on the initiative have been held around the state, and Sitka's was the first to occur without an opening statement in opposition. In fact, during the 2 hours of public testimony, no one came forward against the measure. Katie Riley was one of 51 people who signed up to voice her support.
This measure provides for clear, science-based standards to guide responsible development while also protecting fish habitat, instead of prioritizing the short-term extraction of non-renewable resources over the critical renewable resource that is the basis of many Alaskans' sustenance, livelihood, and cultural identity.
Riley noted that the measure was by no means comprehensive, but instead served as a first step in the direction of improved habitat protection. Author and naturalist Richard Nelson also gave moving testimony, recognizing salmon's cultural, social, economic, and ecological importance.
Alaska is a state that moves on the backs of salmon. In the future, we may find, if we don't properly take care of habitat, that our industrial activities, clear-cutting, mining, dams, and pollutants will do the same thing to salmon here that they've done everywhere else. So we've got a chance to not do that in Alaska, and that's why I so strongly support this Proposition 1. And I think it's the single most important vote that I've ever made in my life is my yes vote on Proposition 1.
By law, the Lieutenant Governor is required to hold a minimum of 2 public hearings on the initiative in each of Alaska's 4 judicial districts, at least 30 days prior to the November general election. The final 3 hearings take place in Fairbanks, Bethel, and Dillingham. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Aaron Slomsky-Pritz.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska fishermen and their families. AMC at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
Declines in the Bering Sea crab and Tanner crab stocks are being described as substantial, while snow crab appears to be on a big rebound. That's according to the results of this year's annual survey, which was presented to the North Pacific Fishery Management Council's Crab Plan team. For Red King crab at the eastern portion of the Bering Sea, which most people call the Bristol Bay, numbers of mature males dropped by more than 40% from last year, and mature females were down 54%. Even worse, the yearly trawl survey continues to show no sign of younger Red King crab coming into the fishery. Bob Foy is director of the NOAA Fisheries Lab in Kodiak and the crab plan team leader. He told the Kodiak Daily Mirror they haven't seen recruitment in years. The story was the same for a blue king crab in St. Matthews, which Foy says is likely below a threshold for a fishery. For Tanner crab, it's the number of mature females that dictate the fate of a fishery, and those numbers drop by 70% in the Eastern District. That continues a several-year decline. The news was better for the West, where male crabs held steady while females declined 14%. Foy also said that there was a substantial amount of young crab poised to enter into that region's Tanner fishery. Substantial also sums up the good news for Bering Sea snow crab. The survey shows a 60% boost in market-sized males and nearly the same for females. Foy said the survey documented one of the largest snow crab recruitment events biologists have ever seen.
Well, I've spent my life in the Bering Sea,
fishing for the king.
Oh, it's not the easy life for me,
fishing for the king.
But if the price is not too cheap, we'll pull those crabs up from the deep. And it's 40 hours before I sleep,
fishing for the king, boys, fishing for the king.
Well, my ship's a million-dollar boat,
fishing for the king.
And I hope to God she stays afloat,
fishing for the king.
But if somehow my ship goes down, I'll freeze to death before I drown, and pray my body will be found,
fishing for the king, boys, fishing for the king.
Well, I like to spend some time in port,
fishing for the king.
And I love the girls who like to sport,
fishing for the king.
But though they make me laugh and smile, it only lasts a little while. And I miss fishing all the while,
fishing for the king, boys, fishing for the king.
Well, I've often thought of settling down,
fishing for the king,
and moving to a house in town,
fishing for the king.
But if I got a house and wife and tried to live the easy life, it'd kill me quicker than a knife,
fishing for the king, boys, fishing for the king.
That was Fishing for the King, sung by Waterbound of Kodiak.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Aaron Schlomsky-Pritz from KCAW in Sitka and Lainey Welch at Alaska Fish Radio. Be safe fishing and don't forget to wear your life vest. As always, a big thank you to everyone that makes this program possible. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Wall.